Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Brachot, Daf Nun Amud Bet. About to take a look at some more analysis of the Mishnah, Shtei Chavurot, Shayubot Cholot Vaidechad. In this, the final set of Mishnayot, in this, the seventh parak, dealing with Birkat HaMazon. The halacha that if you have two groups eating in one room and any one member of the group can see any one member of the other group, then the two groups can join together for Zimun. Otherwise, they have to do Zimun separately. Tana. This is on Daf Nun Amud Bet. Yesh Shamash B'neim Shamash Mitzarfan. If there's a server who's serving, who's between both of them, then he could see a member of each group, then he joins them together. Okay, the next line in the Mishnah is, the position of Rabbi Eliezer is that you cannot say Bari Pregafen on wine unless you've already diluted it, and Chachamim disagreed. Tana Rabbanan, Yayin Ajlon Tan Tochomayim, Rachin Allah Bari Pregafen, Elabari Priya 8. Interestingly enough, the bracha on undiluted wine, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is Bori Priha 8, because it's called Meperot. Not Lin Men of the Adayim, and it's so insignificant you could use it to wash hands. Mishinatan the Tochomayim, the minute you dilute it, Rachin Allah Bari Priya Gafen, Venet Lin Men of the Adayim, it's now wine, you make Bari Gafen, and you can't use it to wash your hands. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Chum say whether or not you've diluted it, it's wine, Bari Priya Gafen, you can't use it to wash your hands. Now, Kaman Azlahadam or Shmuel. Shmuel's ruling, as we're going to see, follows whose opinion? You could do anything you want with bread. Sounds like you could even use it to support a table. Come on, Rabbi Eliezer. It sounds like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer said that you could wash your hands with this wine, which means you can use food for other things. So he says, the Chacham agreed that a kos shel bracha, like kos berkat hamazon, kos shel kiddush, cannot be used till it's been properly diluted. So Rachin Lava Ashtin Tochomayim. My Tam or Vashaya Bain Mitzvah Mina Muvchar, because the Mitzvah has to be ideal, and everybody agrees that this undiluted wine is less than ideal. Rabbanan Mamai Chazi. So the question is, according to Rabbanan, and here it seems to be the Rabbanan of Rabbi Eliezer now talking about regular wine, Lamai Chazi, meaning, how could you make Bari Pregafen? How could you drink it? The answer is that it's useful for koraiti, which may be some sort of a therapeutic use. Tan Rabbanan, arba'a dvarim nemru pat. We have four statements about pat, about bread. Ein melechin basar chay al pat. You can't put raw meat on bread. Kos malei al pat, or to put a full cup of wine and pass over bread. The idea is that it's going to spill and destroy the bread. Vein zorkin tapat. You can't throw bread. Vein zorkin tapat. Pat. You can't use bread to support a pot, or to please it as a trivet. I remember Azutra of Rav Ashi, Karcho Rifta Bahadi Hadadi. The three of them ate together. Aiti Kamayu Chamri Vrimoni. Tamri Vrimoni. They brought dates and pomegranates. Shaka Marzutra Patak Lekamed Rav Ashi Distana. So Marzutra took the fruit and he spit the seeds out in front of Rav Ashi. Amarlo Savar Marla Hadatanya Zakinta Oklin. Don't you accept this principle that you can't throw food? Hahibapat Tanya. And his answer was, that's only talking about, bread. Actually, he had not thrown one of the seeds, he had thrown some meat or something. But we have a braita that says, just like you can't throw a pot, you can't throw food, so those foods can't be bread. So his answer back was, we have an opposite braita that says, even though you can't throw bread, you may throw other things. Something that's going to get disgusting and destroyed by throwing it, you can't throw, but otherwise you can. Here's an example of where we use foods for other things. They would spill wine out in little channels in front of a chatan and a kala as a sign of blessing and fertility. In the summer, we throw toasted kernels and nuts in front of them. Not in the winter, because they're going to get disgusting on the muddy ground. Avolo gluskot, but not cakes, lo motachavav, lo nakshamim, either season. And it seems to clearly support the idea that any other foods may be thrown as long as they're not going to get all disgusting and wrecked as a result, so therefore a difference between the summer and the winter. Let's say it happened, a person put food into his mouth and hadn't made the bracha. He should push it to one side of the mouth and make the bracha, even though he's got food in his mouth. We'll see a little bit about that in a minute. Now, Tanya Chara Bolan, we have one brighter that says you should swallow the food. Tanya Irach Poltan, another one that says spit it out. Tanya Chuzalkan, and a third one that says what Rav Yehuda says, to push it to the side. So, Lo Kasha, how do we reconcile all of these? How did Tanya Bolan, when do we say that you swallow it? B'mashkin, that's talking about liquids that you can't do anything else with it to save them. How did Tanya Poltan, when you say spit it out, maybe it's something that won't get disgusting. Like, if you put a cherry in your mouth and hadn't yet bitten down on it, you could pull it out easily. Haditanya Mesalkan, when do we say push it to the side? Mimi is something that will be disgusting if you take it out of your mouth, but still, you could push it to the side and say the bracha, not like liquids. So something that's not going to be disgusting, why spit it out? Why not push it to the side? So he said, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, because of the Pasuk in Tehillim, my mouth should be filled with your praise, that ideally you don't have anything in your mouth when you make a bracha. That's why if you can, you spit it out. A person who ate, drank, and realized afterwards he never said a bracha. Should he say the bracha afterwards? In other words, if you ate garlic and now you have bad breath, and is your solution to eat more garlic and have worse breath? The idea being you did one thing wrong, which is to eat without a bracha. Now you should make a bracha levatala. So he comes up with the opposite conclusion and says, therefore, even if you finished your meal, you should make a bracha. The Tanya, he has a support for that. Because, and he's countering the Rav Chista's answer, and he said, proving it from the mitzvah of tefillah, and this is specifically tefillah tager, take a look at Tosfot and Psachim and Av Zayin, that when a person goes to the mikvah, when he comes out, he says, Asher Kedush Shalom Tzadav, which means you make the bracha afterwards. But Veloi Ata Mikar Gavra Lochazi, that's different, because in that case he couldn't make the bracha before, and he wasn't Jewish. Here, the person should have made the bracha before he ate. He blew it, and he missed it, which means you do not make the bracha afterwards, and we do side, indeed, with Rav Chista. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. This braita is now going to deal with a particular drink that they had called asparagus, which does sound like asparagus, but it's actually some sort of a green that was boiled and prepared in either wine or mead. Now, the first statement is, in the bright day, it's good for the heart, it's good for the eyesight, and it's very good, certainly it's good for digestion. If you have it regularly, it's good for you, but if you, on the other hand, have so much of it that it gets you drunk, then it's really bad for you. Now, Miniktani Yafel Alei, from the fact that it said it's good for your heart, Michal de Bachamreskin, we must be talking about asparagus, which is made of wine. Uktanu Choshken and Meaim, which, and then it said it's good for your digestion, which means wine is good for your digestion. Ay, Vatanya Light Yafel Ramat Kasheh. We have a statement that La'at, which is Lev and Aim and Tchol being the spleen, this asparagus is good, but Ramat, which is Rosh, Me'ayim, and Tachtonia being hemorrhoids, it's bad, so you see that wine is bad for digestion. The answer is Ketanya, even Yushan. Our first Brayta was talking about aged wine. Kedinan, Konam Yayin, Shani Toim, if a person takes a neder not to drink any wine, Shayayin Kashel Ivnei Me'ayim, and he gives his reason, and this is part of a series of Mishnayot in Nedarim, where a person takes a neder and explicates the reason for his avoiding a particular kind of food because it's dangerous, and finds out that at least some subset of the food is not. And Amrulo, so they tell him, "V'halom yishan yafel livnei me'ayim." They said, "Aged wine is actually good for the digestion." V'shatak, and he doesn't say anything in response. He doesn't say Afal Pichain. Asur b'chadash when talmi yushan, then he's not allowed to drink new wine, but he is allowed to drink aged wine. Shma mina, so you see that aged wine is good for digestion, and that must be what our bright is talking about. And the one about lat and ramat is about new wine. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Shishad v'im nemru b'asparagus. They have six adages about the asparagus. Angel tinoto alak shu chai umale. It must be raw, meaning undiluted, and full. Mekablobi min v'shotei is small. You have to take it in your right hand, and then you use your left to drink it. Ve'en mesichin acharav. You shouldn't talk afterwards. Ve'en mafsikin bo. You should drink it straight without a break. Ve'en machzir oto el mishnat nulo. You don't nulo. You only give it back to the person who gave it to you. Ve'rak acharav. And you spit afterwards. And so chinoto elav mino, and then you have to afterwards eat something which is of the same sort that it was used, that it was made from. Ah, you're telling some chinoto elav a pot. But we have another statement that says you must have bread afterwards. So lokasha, habad a chamra, habad a shikra. If it's made of wine, then you can use whatever the vegetable was. If it's meat, then you use bread. Now tani chav alalat yafel arat kasha, as we saw. Tani idach the opposite. The ramat yafel alalat kasha. So lokasha, habad a chamra, habad a shikra. If it's wine, then it's good for the heart and for the eyes, etc., and bad for the digestive tract. And if it's the made of mead, then it's the opposite. Tani chara raka charav loke. One writer says that if you spit afterwards, you'll suffer. Tani yerach lo raka charav loke. The other one says if you don't spit afterwards, you'll suffer. So lokash racham rabashika. Again, the difference between wine and mead based asparagus. Rashi hashtamart lo raka charav loke me mavni zarkina filu fnei melech. Rashi said once we have the statement that if you don't spit afterwards, then you'll suffer. Then you could spit even in front of a king because it's dangerous. Okay, I'm Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Shlosha dvarim sachli suriel sar hapnim. This is some angelic character told me the following three things. These are mystical pieces of information. Al titol chalukcha b'shachrit miyad hashamash v'tilbash. In the morning, don't take your garment from the servant and put it on. Take it yourself. Al titol yadecha mimbishol antalidav. Don't allow someone to come and wash your hands if he himself hasn't washed his hands. Al tachzir kos asparagus el mishnatano lacha. That's why this is here. Don't give the asparagus cup except back to the person, saved for the person who gave it to you. Mimnei shetachspit. Because there's some avenging angels who want to hurt people who are sitting there and waiting. When will we find somebody who falls into one of these three traps? We can get him. So these are three things that invite danger from angels. And Reshub and Levi, the Malach HaMavet told Reshub and Levi, who had also interesting interactions with the Yom HaNavi and with Mashiach, same thing. Those same first two that we had. Don't stand in front of the women when they come back from a funeral. I'm in front of them. I'm dancing in front of them. Malach Mavet says, I got my sword there. And God gives me permission to kill whoever I want. So don't be there. So let's say that you happen to be walking and see a bunch of women coming back from a funeral. What should you do? Lean shof miduchte arbamo. Jump back four steps. Iika nara, if there's a river, liavre, go to the other side of the river. Iika dark achrin, if there's another path, lezobe, take that. Iika guda leku achor, if there's a fence, go on the other side. Vilo, if you can't do any of those things, lehadar ape velema, turn your face away and say, etc. until all the women leave, and then you know you're safe. So that's the Malach HaMavet's advice to Rabbi Shimon Levi about how to escape his own reach. Okay, I'm Zayin Rami Avau. V'Ami La Matnita Tana. We have a brayta. Aside from Namru B'Kos Shal Bracha. 10 rules of Kos Shal Bracha, which for right now we'll see it as the Kos of Berkat HaMazon. Ta'un Hadacha U'Shtifa. It has to be washed out. That's two different kind of washings. We'll see what that means. Chai umale itur v'ituf notol b'shtei adav notol b'yamin v'menakar katefach notel nabbo shem af v'shagor matanal anshei beito. Okay? So what are those 10 things? Hadacha means washing it out from the inside. Shtifa, washing the outside of it. Chai has to be undiluted wine and then you fill it, male. We'll see the details. Itur means to crown it. We'll see what that means. Ituf means to wrap. Again, we'll see what that means. You take it with both hands, put it in your right hand, lift it up at least a tefach off of the table or the ground wherever you're sitting, look at it, and there's a yeshomim that says you should send it to your wife, send some of it to your wife after drinking from it. We only have four of these rules. Hadacha, ushtifa, chai, umalei. What does that mean? Tana hadachami bifrim, shtifam b'chutz, as I said, washing it out both in and out. If you make a bracha on a full cup, you get an inheritance without any boundaries. Beautiful from the bracha to Naftali, beautiful illusion. You get two worlds, olam hazeh v'olam haba. Now what's itur? What does that mean? Rav Yehuda ma'atreyu b'talmidim. He'd have his students sit around, so like a crown around the table. He would put cups around, little cups around the kosher bracha. Amrchanan uvachai. What does vachai mean? That means that you have raw, the undiluted wine. Meaning you have undiluted wine, and then in the bracha nodelacha, you add in water to dilute it and make it full. Ituf, what's that? Or papa ma'atef yatif. He would put on his talit and sit in sevrakat amazon. Asi paris sudra reshi, he'd put a hat on his head or something over his head when he would say Birkat Hamazon. What does that mean? What's the pasuk? Se'u yedechem kodesh, lift your hands. So you take it in both hands. Rachut Adonai, bless God. No, no, you mean, they put it in your right hand. Rishonim sha'alu. The early ones asked, small mouth to say, you mean, can you have your left hand help, your right hand hold it? So if Ashi said, since they asked and they never resolved it, therefore, anan na'ave l'chumra, we'll do the chumra and only have the right hand hold it. Now, biyomin akarka tefach, you lift it up one tefach from the ground or the table. Acharachanina ma'ikra, what's the pasuk? Kos yeshuot esa, I will lift up a cup of salvation, v'shem Adonai kra, and call out in God's name. You have to look at it. That's simply so you don't forget that you're saying Birkat Hamazon on a kos. You give it to your wife, so that your wife will be blessed also. Here we have a story. Ula ikla lever of Nachman. Remember, Rav Nachman was the Reish Galuta's son-in-law. He married to Yalta. Karach, she was quite an interesting woman. Karach rifta barech birchat mazona. They ate bread together, and he said Birkat Hamazon. Yavle kosa de birchat alav Nachman. So he gave the kosa bracha that Ula, as the guest, had said birchat amazon, he gave it to Rav Nachman, his host. Rav Nachman, the shadim are kosa de birchat al yalta. So Rav Nachman said, you should send it to my wife. Amalehachem Rabbi Yochanan, ain privit na shel isham parechal and privit no shel ish. That a woman is only blessed from her own husband, meaning you should be the one to send it to her. Shenemar varach privit necha. In other words, the bracha in Parshat Ekev is, he'll bless the fruit of your womb. He's talking to a man. Meaning, her womb is blessed from you. The same drasha. In the meantime, Yalta heard this talk. She wasn't getting her wine, and they were disagreeing who should send it to her. I told you she was an interesting woman. She went into the wine cellar and broke 400 barrels of wine. She was so angry. So he said, let's send another cup. So she sent back a message, which was, she said, send me some wine. He said, oh, everything in that barrel is like one cup, so you can have that. And so her answer was that, Mahaduri Mile, people who go from city to city, have lots of words to say, and that was a shot at Ula, who was one of the Nechute who would travel a lot. So I took the Kalmi, and from worn out clothes, you get lots of lice. In other words, she was putting him down for being a traveler, and had no use for Ula's words. Amar Vasi, in Masichin al Kos Shel Bracha. You don't talk when you have a Kos Shel Bracha in front of you. Amar Vasi, in Varchin al Kos Shel Puranut. You do not make a Bracha on a cup of Puranut, of punishment. My kosher puranut, what's that? A second cup in a meal. You can't use it. So if you're going to have Birkat Hamazon, you're already a cup, make sure it's the third cup. That's all sugim sachim of zugot. If you drink a double, don't say rachabishim shenemar, hikonli krata l'racha Yisrael. You should prepare yourself. Which means if you drank double, you shouldn't say Birkat Hamazon, or you shouldn't be the one to leave Birkat Hamazon because you're probably not able to bench very well. Palo matakit. And this is not an issue of zugot, because there three would be worse. If you're walking and eating, you stop and stand and bench. If you're standing to eat, you sit down and bench. If you're reclining and eating, like at a banquet, you sit up and bench. And the halacha, though, is that in every case, you have to sit down, even if you're walking and eating, you have to sit down and save your katamazon. Adon Alach Shlosha Shachlu, Baruch Hashem, we've come to the conclusion of the 7th parak. We'll begin the very brief 8th parak in the next podcast. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.